Chapter 4. She Collects Objects That Are Not Hers. In time, the silence and the non-silence, her stifled breath, her furor without words, began to irritate, like a hair unseen will torture the skin it hangs against. She wanted to rip it out. The empty, cold room amplified every noise until the walls rang. Beyond those walls, the landscape erupted with heat and rain, the season coaxing brambles into a green riot, a gloss of leaves from the trees and roses wild with color. She looked on them all without pleasure. They seemed crude and vulgar. When she could no longer endure the nothingness rolling through her head, she ventured into the woods, searching for objects that pleased her, silent, incapable of noise, like berries, bright and mute, reflecting not the sunshine nor her face in their dark bodies, but the bruised and burnished places housing her memories. She tramped through the forest, nettles caught inside her hair, and scalped the moss from trunks of trees. She lined her room with these, her trophies, but they turned brown and brittle too soon. Unable to bear her quiet room or the dead things littered across the floor, she left the tower again, but this time pressed beyond the woods to a nearby town. Its houses mottled the land with a shadow, and from those homes came raucous laughter, high-pitched, volatile arguments, and soft exchanges between lovers. Their noise made worse the numb silence she dragged with her like a palsied limb. She schemed to punish them by stealing objects they used, but left outdoors, on window sills or back porches or stoops. She started small, ceramic dogs that guarded gates, shingles felled by raging winds, a key untucked from plastic hollow stone, and various bubble wands deserted or lost by children with fickle, careless hands. Then larger items became her prey. Gasoline cans, lawnmower chains, old spades and rakes left leaning up against a house, and pitchers of tea left out to sun. She shuffled every stolen gadget and garden gnome into the tower until it was full, and she felt less alone. But with each passing day and item she'd collect, her tongue would press more forcefully against the gate she'd stitched across her mouth. Her stolen odds and ends were safe inside the tower, and yet inside herself a danger grew, a threat, although she couldn't say, even inside her head, the place her voice remained, exactly what or who it was she should protect. She knew she felt more fear the more her corrupt mouth bulged. If she clipped the last of its fraying strings, who knew what she'd become?